Greetings to you in Jesus' name again tonight. Thank you, Brother Henry, for preparing our minds to worship again and to encourage us in what we need to do with the truth that we hear. I also like the last verse of that song. Author of faith, to thee I lift my weary, longing eyes. O may I now receive that gift. My soul without it dies. Truly, we come waiting, desiring that God would pour something out to us and would feed our spiritual man. And I pray tonight that we do have a spiritual appetite and that we desire to add to that wealth of truth in our minds and to take away something tonight that is a nugget of truth that will aid us in our Christian life, will aid us in growth. Tonight, our message title is Loving God in a Pleasure-Seeking Society. This morning, we talked about rebellion and how we are born with that native rebel heart, and we need to be born again as a son of God. Rebellion is prolific in our society, and perhaps second to that is the seeking of pleasure in our society. Our society is obsessed with seeking pleasure. And it will offer you any pleasure that your mind can conjure up. Any good pleasure, any wicked pleasure, any normal pleasure, any perverted pleasure is out there in our society to pursue and to indulge oneself in. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3. Read a couple verses here. In the start, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Perilous days shall come. Brother Luke exhorted us this morning that we're living in the last of the last days, and if that's true, then we are among these perilous times that Paul warned Timothy of, and I believe certainly we are. And the call to pursue, to love pleasure more than to love God, is a very real thing that we face today. Loving God is not some obscure part of our life, but should be in the very forefront and in the very center of our life. 12 specific times in the Old Testament, we are told to love God. It's a very plain teaching in the Scripture. In fact, when Jesus was asked which is the great commandment in the law, he says this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Have you ever thought about that the first thing that God desires from you is an emotion? It's not an action or a behavior. God wants an emotion from you, and that is the emotion of love. It's a commandment to have an emotion of love for your Heavenly Father. What is an emotion? An emotion is any strong agitation of the feelings actuated by experiencing love, hate, fear, etc., and usually accompanied by certain physiological changes, as in increased heartbeat or respiration, and often overt manifestations as crying or shaking. We know we love someone by that surge of emotion or feeling within our inside of us. An emotion. That's what God wants from you. Emotions are given to us by our Creator. They are as much a part of us as our physical body. We cannot live unemotionally, nor would we want to. Our emotions are a direct copy of God's. You ever thought about that? Our emotions are a direct copy of God's. God wants emotions to stir within your breast and to be an active part of your living, because he wants us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He wants our emotions to be connected to him. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, I know also, my God, that thou triest the hearts and hast pleasure in uprightness. God enjoys pleasure, just like we do. Zephaniah 3:17 says, he will joy over thee with singing. Do you know God sings over us? And the list could go on and on. These are just a few examples. The burden for this message comes from the warning that men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. God made us, I believe, with the specific capacity to love him. However, you and I each have the freedom to choose to love whatever we wish to. God will force himself on no man. But he has shown his love so strongly upon this world through his Son Jesus Christ that the only appropriate response to that is to love him in return. But he gives us each the free choice of what we will love. I can't help but think that the emotional feelings that we have are somewhat like how we feel in our health. If I feel sick and I don't start improving my health, my feelings of my health don't start improving, after a while we think, well, maybe I should go to the doctor and see what's wrong with me. And so we go to the doctor and we describe to him how we are feeling, our symptoms. And he listens to that and he may check a variety of things about us and he'll diagnose what is wrong with our health and perhaps give us a remedy to improve our health. Suppose you didn't feel bad when you were sick and didn't realize how ill you were because there were no feelings involved. But just as those feelings of health motivate us, so too our feelings of emotion should motivate us as well. If inside we have no love or affection to God, we have a serious condition. And if coupled with that, we have a frustrated Christian life, the condition is even more clear. I have a medical condition called high blood pressure. And it has been nicknamed the silent killer because there are no feelings with it. When my blood pressure is normal, I feel as good as when it's high. I wouldn't know the difference except that there's a tool that you can use that will tell you what your blood pressure is. And I didn't realize it until I was 21 years of age, and I went to get a physical for my CDL driver's license, and the doctor says, you have high blood pressure. And so he sent me to do an array of tests. And the end of that, he concluded, he said, you're one of those that we don't know why you have high blood pressure. But if you treat it now and keep it under control, it probably won't be a problem. But if you don't take care of yourself now, when you get old, you may die of an aneurysm. And I think maybe that would be a nice way to die, but my wife doesn't agree with that. So anyway, I take high blood pressure medicine. God has given us feelings of peace, love, joy, guilt, hate, fear, so that we can know what our spiritual condition is. How is your spiritual health tonight? How is your love for God? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Love is an emotion. And God asks that he would dwell in the throne room of our heart. But there are many things in life that vie for that affection. And the one we're looking at specifically tonight is the love of pleasure more than the love of God. In our society, pleasure seeking is pursued all around us. And in the midst of the pressure to chase after those pleasures, how do we keep a fervent love for God? God made us to enjoy pleasure. It's a God-given function. It's not something that is sinful. It's not something that is perverted or twisted. To enjoy pleasure is the way God created us. However, it is kind of like chocolate. A small amount is delightful. A large amount is unhealthy for you and would destroy your teeth. The Christian lives a life full of pleasure, but it is within its rightful place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, Jesus taught us. And one of those, and some of those things are the pleasures that we enjoy in life. God is not the opposite of pleasure. It is God-given. But when the place of it takes the place of God in your life, it has become an idol to you. And then it is wrong. The world that seeks pleasure ends up depressed and hating life. If you rub shoulders with the world, you'll hear it all the time and you'll see it. They pursue pleasure, but they are depressed. Life has no meaning for them. They despair of life. The person who loves God first and enjoys the pleasures that result from that have a very happy and contented life. Turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 2. We're going to read about a pursuer of pleasure. And yes, he didn't live in the United States of America in 2018. But Solomon was capable of bringing to himself any pleasure that was available to him in the time in which he lived. And he did that. And we'll see what he says about that. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, 2 now, I'll prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. It's worthless. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself into wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I gat me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. What a pursuer of pleasure. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that should be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. This was vexing Solomon, that everything that he accomplished and got and had, he may well be leaving it to a total fool. And this was vexing him. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten thereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. A man who pursued pleasure as much as was capable to him, and yet at the end of it all, despaired and realized that it was all vain and vexing to him. I've taken the privilege to paraphrase Ecclesiastes 2 to perhaps make it a little more modern. And it goes like this. I got unto me a laptop, a smartphone, and a tablet. I filled myself with YouTube, Pandora, and Netflix. Behold, they were vanity and vexation of spirit. I decided to pursue the outdoors. I bought me a motorhome and toured the countryside. I visited all the famous attractions, but when I got home, I felt depressed. I needed something more thrilling, So I bought me a four-wheeler, snowmobile, and ski-doo. They were thrilling, but I needed more. I decided to pursue parachuting and bungee jumping. Behold, they were all vanity and vexation of spirit. I decided to try hunting and fishing. I bought a bow and a rifle and all the gear from Bass Pro, and I paid for guided hunts. Then I bought a bass boat and fishing gear and traveled to the wilds of Alaska to go fishing. Behold, that too was vanity and vexation. I decided to try amusement parks, and so I went to Hershey Water World, and from there I headed to Florida, to Disneyland, and Orlando. Behold, that too was vanity and vexation of spirit. I decided to give racing a try, and so I bought a race car and headed to the dirt tracks. Behold, that ended in a total crash. I thought that tractors must be the way to go, and so I bought myself a tractor and I went to the tractor pools, but that left me unsatisfied. Perhaps the truck pool would satisfy my itch, so I bought a souped-up Duramax so I could compete in the truck pool. I still went home with an empty spot in my heart. Maybe bigger is better, I thought, so I bought a bigger truck and entered the big truck pool. I never won in any of them. I blew up every engine, and I lost a lot of money. Behold, that too was a vexation of spirit. I gave up racing and decided to pursue sports. I bought myself a snowboard and hit the ski slopes every weekend in the winter. Behold, I broke my leg and my arm. That too was vanity and vexation of spirit. So then I bought tickets for the Oriole games and spent my Saturdays at the stadium in Baltimore. Behold, that was very hot and boring. Football is an American obsession. Maybe that will satisfy me. I became a Steelers fan and was glued to the TV for every game. But behold, that too was vanity and vexation of spirit. I probably had the wrong team, that's why. My friends introduced me to drugs. I started with marijuana, but that just wasn't enough. I was soon hooked on cocaine, and then I was on to heroin. Most of my friends now are dead, and I live on the streets. Behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I paraphrase this to make it practical to us. We can read across Ecclesiastes 2, and it can tickle our minds, and we can assent to it in our hearts. But many of those things are not that practical to us. Some of the things I mentioned are far out from us. Some of these things I mentioned are very close to us. The point I want you to consider isn't, is that far out from me or is that close to me? The point I want you to consider tonight is, has something filled your life that is robbing God of what is rightfully His? I could have made a list that is probably two or three or four times as long as I did. And I still might not have mentioned that love in your life that is taking the place of God. And that's not my role here tonight. My role is not to name all the possibilities. My role here tonight is to open our minds to what God's Spirit may be speaking to your heart. A Christian's life is not empty of pleasure, but rather it is full of the simple pleasures that come from enjoying the good in his labor. Loving God in a pleasure-seeking society demands that pleasure is kept in its rightful place. Like I said earlier, pleasure is like chocolate candy. It has a richness to it that enriches our life. However, if we become obsessed or indulgent in it, it makes us sick, unhealthy, and destroys our teeth. Pleasure seeking becomes very addictive. And one thing takes us on to another because we are seeking that thrill, and that thrill never satisfies. That thrill is elusive. And after we have done one thing long enough, that thrill is gone. And so if we aren't satisfied with something other than pleasure, we will seek another pleasure and another thrill. And that pursuit in your life will take you to spiritual and most likely physical ruin. A pleasure that is pursued for pleasure's sake is an animal that is never satisfied until your pockets are empty, your health is gone, and life is wasted in what matters. And worst of all, it fills the place in your life that was only meant for God. It becomes idolatry, and love for God is gone. God did not make us to live with heightened senses all the time. Adrenaline and fear were given to us to help us survive in dangerous situations. They were not meant to be a high to give meaning to life. Our life is meant to find meaning in God. Loving God in a pleasure-seeking society requires that we give plenty of space in our life to God, to love God. We need to give plenty of space in your life to love God. We have the capacity to fill our life brimming full with whatever. And when you have filled your life so full of whatever, there isn't space left for you to love God. And if you're going to have God first place in your life, you're going to have to make space in your life to love God. You take a young man who's pursuing the friendship of a lady. He is more than glad to put plenty of space in his life for that love to flourish. That same dynamic must be in a Christian's life for love of God to flourish. And that's a blessing that we have at a Bible school like this. That we are physically putting plenty of space in our life these 3 weeks so that love for God can flourish. Time is set aside to pray and to meditate, to drink from God's word and to sit under teaching and to engage in teaching and to engage with others about God's word. And with that space given, love for God can thrive and grow and fill your life. But when you leave this time of Bible school, you need to take Brother Henry's admonition to heart. Because the same life that you left is waiting for you to re-engage with it when you get back home. And if you were having trouble keeping enough space in your life for your love for God to flourish, beware, it'll happen again. Personal worship is important. Collective worship is important. Time to meditate and pray. Seek God's face and draw near to Him. Cultivate the enjoyment of simple pleasures. Life is full of them, and they add a richness to our life that does not become idolatry. When you seek first the kingdom of heaven, and God has His rightful place in your heart, the pleasures of life that He brings your way add a richness to it that do not become idolatry to you. But when God does not have His rightful place in your life, those pleasures that you seek take that place that God should have and become idolatry to you. Nehemiah 8, verse 10 says this, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The pleasure that comes from worshiping and adoring your Heavenly Father. Cultivate the enjoyment of simple pleasures. There is a pleasure in the tiredness at the end of a day because of a job well done. It's rewarding to know that you were a benefit to the kingdom with your energy today. There are many simple pleasures that we enjoy. And if we would open it up and we had people brave enough to talk, and you each would share simple pleasures that you enjoy, I'm sure there would be quite a list. One of the simple pleasures that I love, when I'm hot and sweaty, I love to sit down to a cup of cold slushy cider. It's a simple pleasure that I enjoy. There is pleasure in being together with friends and family. Working and eating together is very healthy. There is pleasure in understanding truth and growing in your Christian life. There's pleasure in that. And when that pleasure comes to you, it is something to be enjoyed. Did you know? Can you imagine that there is pleasure in preaching the word to a group of Bible students who want to learn? There is. I remember years ago when I was at Messiah Bible School, the principal was saying how he would rather preach a sermon than introduce himself at the night when we had introductions. And that just seemed the farthest stretch from my mind, that preaching a sermon could be that much more enjoyable. And yet there is a wonderful pleasure that comes from preaching God's word and expounding on it and observing people soak it in and connecting with their heart and realizing that you are a tool in the hand of God. Simple pleasure. There's pleasure in teaching Bible discovery class to town children. There's pleasure in sharing the gospel with someone who has never heard it. And if you haven't had that opportunity, I pray that it is an opportunity that you will have in your life. And you can share the gospel to someone who says that they have never heard it before. There's pleasure in standing in the subway of New York City and praying for a backslidden Christian. It's a pleasure that comes when you have placed God in his rightful place in your life. That is a pleasure that will only come that way. There's pleasure in taking your family through the airport, knowing that people will look at you. And when they look at you, they'll see a family that is living and functioning in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's a simple pleasure. Loving God in a pleasure-seeking society. Song of Solomon concludes Ecclesiastes with chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The question that I pose tonight is, pleasure filling the place in your life that is only meant for God? Perhaps you're not a rebel, but perhaps something is filling the spot in your life that only God should fill. What is your greatest love tonight? What will you sacrifice your life most for? It's probably what you love the most. Is pleasure filling the place in your life that is only meant for God?